I would start off by saying good morning, but honestly, it's not such a good morning today. As I stand before you this morning, my heart is heavy. You see, I might as well just be honest with you. I have a confession to make. Last week, I told you that today was going to be the last message in this series. Yeah, I lied. I lied to you. Actually, I was intending to have this be the last message, but if you look on your outline, you see there's 10 points we needed to cover. And why I thought I could cover 10 points in one message, I don't know. But as I was preparing the message today, I realized this isn't going to work. So actually, the real title of today's message is A Vision for Our Future, Part 1. Next week will be Part 2. I promise next Sunday will be the last message in this series. So now that I confess that to you, that I lied, I feel much better. Right? As I said before, Altus confession is like onsen for the soul, right? Just when you confess, it's like, there's just that nice feeling when you confess that sin. So I'm glad you're laughing. You know that I'm joking, right? Okay. Well, over the last 2 weeks, you guys, I have been getting more and more excited about what God is doing here at SIBC. You know, after 3 years of kind of worrying about the building situation and worrying about should we move or should we not move and what should we do, I'm so thankful that God is finally giving us that clear direction of the way He wants us to go. And now that we sense that God is leading us to transition to a more simple style church at No Jesus Home, you know, I'm just really amazed at all that has happened over the last 9 months. I can't remember if I shared this at the congregational meeting or not, but when we started this Rethinking Church series 9 months ago, I was really worried. I remember telling a friend, as we were starting this series, I remember telling him, I can't imagine how this series is going to end well. I honestly thought as we started talking about some of these things that it would actually cause conflict and kind of maybe even division in the church, right? Because as we take time to rethink church, as we tear down some of those traditional ways of thinking about church that for some of us we hold very strongly, I honestly thought that some people might get offended. They might kind of disagree and criticize the things that we were talking about. And so I was really, really nervous to start the series. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk about these things, and so we did. And now 9 months later, none of that has happened. At least that I know of. There hasn't been any arguing, any criticism, any division, any conflict. And I'm a little bit surprised. Right? I don't know if the word miracle is the appropriate word here, but friends, it's just I'm amazed to see that we've come this far. And I'm even more amazed to see that we're about to actually embrace so many of these things that we've been talking about. Friends, 9 months ago, I never even imagined that we would be heading in this direction. And the thought never crossed my mind that one day we would actually be transitioning to a more simple style church and meeting in a home. And if I had a chance to share just the whole story, it was just, friends, it's so clear to me that God is leading us. And to me, that is just so exciting. And I hope you're getting excited too, because, you know, just I don't think this transition will necessarily be easy, but then I guess I could be wrong. I was wrong before, right? But there might be little bumps and hiccups along the way as we kind of trying to learn a new way of doing church and, you know, walking off our maps and going someplace new isn't always the easiest thing to do, but God has a plan for us. And I'm really excited about that. But the truth is that SIBC is changing, right? And so I think the question that a lot of us are thinking about, the question in a lot of our hearts is, what will the new SIBC look like? And once we get to Izumiotsu and begin to meet at Noji's house, what will our worship services look like? How will we spend our time together on Sunday morning? Well, to help us begin to answer that question, today I want to share with you a vision for the future of SIBC. And as I share this, I want you to be really clear from the beginning. Friends, this is not my vision. Right? I'm not sharing with you my vision for the church. Rather, I really do believe that this is God's vision. This is God's heart for the church. And the reason why I say that is because everything I share with you today comes directly from what we've been studying in this series. Right? As we've been studying the scripture and talking about rethinking church, right? These are the things that I think God has revealed to us. I think this is God's vision, God's heart, God's desire for the church. This is God's church, God's way. And so this morning and then next week, we're going to take time to share 10 things. And I believe these 10 things are 10 things that God wants to characterize our time together. Right? As we gather together each week as the body of Christ, I believe these 10 things represent who God wants us to be who He wants us to be and what He wants us to do. Right? So we'll do the first 5 this week. We'll do the next 5 next week. And as we go through these things, let me just mention what I said last week. Because all of these things are things we've talked about previously in our series here, I'm not going to be giving a lot of the scriptures and a lot of the verses and stuff like I normally do. If you want to hear all that, well, there's 26 messages on the SIVC homepage, and feel free to listen to those. So, are you ready? Here is, I think, God's vision, God's heart for SIVC. And first of all, friends, God wants us to be family. Friends, God's leading us to do church in a home. And I think that's significant because who gathers in homes? Families do, right? Friends, you know, the image of family is the most common metaphor for the church in the entire Bible. And I believe God is leading us to a home because He wants us to be a family. You see, we said earlier in the series that church was never supposed to be a hierarchy with the pastor on top, right? That this is how man has kind of created and imagined church for himself, but this is not God's heart. This was not God's plan and God's purpose for the church. No, God's design is that the church would be a family with God in the center. Right? We are the family of God, right? So God is the one who is in the center. Right? God is our Heavenly Father and we are His children. Right? And then, as members of the family of God, the great thing is each one of us then is connected to the Father. Each one of us has a relationship with the Father. But more than that, in the family of God, we're also connected to one another, because that's what a family is, right? A family is all about relationships. Relationship with Father, relationship with one another. Now, within the family, right, obviously, we all will have different roles and different functions. Each one of us has different gifts that God wants us to use to build up the church family. And 1 Corinthians 12 makes that very clear. But in Matthew 23, right, Jesus says that we're not to put labels on people. We're not to call some people teacher or rabbi or leader or father or pastor. Right, we're not to elevate certain people above anyone else, because that's not how God's family works. Rather, Jesus says that all of us, we're all brothers and sisters. Right? And this is Jesus' way of saying that within the family of God, there's a kind of equality. No one in the church family is above anyone else. No one in the church family is below anyone else. Right? In God's understanding of family, we're equal. Different, but equal. Right? And therefore, we don't lift up certain people and follow them and say, you're our leader, we follow you, because we only have one leader of the family, and that's Father, right? We're the family of God, so we follow God alone. God is the head. God alone is our Father. And friends, I think as we look at that, we would all nod our heads and say, yeah, that's the way it is. But I don't think we realize how much we function, even now, in this hierarchy. This really is a complete change of thinking in terms of how we live together as a family of God. But friends, I believe this is God's heart for the church. So, He is our Father, and He wants us to be family. It's part of God's vision for us. Well, as we gather together as church family, right, I think one of the things that will characterize our time together is number 2, and that's presence. Specifically, the presence of Jesus. Right? It's the presence of Jesus in our midst. You see, in Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus makes this wonderful promise. Jesus says, where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Friends, as we gather together in Jesus' name, He promises that His presence would be with us in a very special way. And so as the family of God, this is what we long for, right? We're hungry to know and to experience the presence of Jesus, right? And we can also say the presence of God, the presence of the Spirit, because they're all one, right? Right? But we're hungry just to know the presence of Jesus. And He promises to be in our midst. And so our prayer is that He would open up our eyes, that we might indeed see Him, that we might indeed encounter Him when we gather together. Friends, and this is why we gather together. This is why we come together as the people of God. We come together for the purpose of meeting a person. And that person is Jesus. So friends, I don't know what motivates you to come here each Sunday. I don't know what motivates you to come and be a part of this church family. But I think what should motivate us is presence. The presence of Jesus. And so as we gather, our priority will be to seek Jesus, to seek Jesus, to worship Jesus, listen to Jesus, be still before Jesus. We have a hunger and desire for Jesus. And I think this is this new song we've been singing, right? And I really like the song because it reminds us that it's all about Jesus, right? It's Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all, right? Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, You're the center. Everything revolves around You. Jesus, You. We're going to sing this song in just a few moments. But friends, I believe this is God's heart for the church, right? May the presence of Jesus be the center, the purpose, the reason, the motivation for all that we do when we gather together. So we have family, we have presence. And as we gather together as a family to seek Jesus, there's other things that we will do. And one of the things we'll do is number three. We will fellowship. Fellowship. You know, as we read through the New Testament, it seems like the Christians often ate meals together. Right? We see that Acts chapter 2, seems like they got together frequently for meals. Also 1 Corinthians 11. But eating meals together is a great opportunity for fellowship, right? And you know, friends, I think this is one of the big, big benefits of us meeting in a home. For the first time in the history of SIBC, we'll actually have a kitchen. A kitchen to meet in, a kitchen to prepare food. And right now we have nothing, which is why we have to order those bentos all the time, right? But we'll have a kitchen that we can meet in. And if we want to, we can actually eat together every week if we want to. And of course, some of you are thinking, I don't want to prepare every week, right? But the thing is, we have enough people. We can divide up into groups of three or four, and just each week a different team of people can take turns preparing, planning and preparing the meal. That includes not just the women, but the men and the kids, right? Everyone can help out. And even cooking together is fun because it's a time for fellowship, right? So cooking, eating together is one thing that we can do. And of course, we can eat together after the worship service, which is what we are going to do today. But you know, we could also eat together before we meet for worship, right? If we still wanted to have a 10:30 worship service, we could meet for breakfast at 9:30. And then the whole first hour that we spend together will just be in fellowship and talking and getting caught up and seeing what's going on in people's lives. And we could just, that will just be a fun time. And by the time 10:30 rolls around, we'll be ready to actually begin to pray together and worship together and study together and grow together. But friends, when we gather, right, we want to take time for fellowship, and eating seems to be a biblical way to do that. But you know, here's the cool thing about, I think, simple style church. Friends, in simple church, we can have fellowship not only before the meeting and after the meeting, like we do now, but our fellowship can also happen during the meeting, right? Currently at SABC, there's very little fellowship going on between 10:30 and 12, right? Maybe you have a chance to fellowship with God, but very little fellowship going on between us, right? But in simple church, it's different. You see, as we sit in a circle in a living room together, there'll be a lot more opportunities for us to actually have fellowship. As we worship together and pray together and study the Bible together, there will be opportunities to interact with one another and encourage one another and teach one another and pray for one another and confess sins to one another and just talk about life with one another. Friends, and that's real fellowship. And that's what we need. And personally, I'm actually really looking forward to having this kind of fellowship. Noji and I often talk on Wednesday night that sometimes we feel like we have so many just little things that we have to do on Sundays before the service and after the service that often we're just so busy doing these little things that we really don't have time to just take time to connect with people. To just really kind of sit down and just talk to people and share our hearts and hear their hearts. We're just so busy doing stuff. But friends, I want that. I need that. I think we all need just this opportunity to have fellowship and connect with one another. And so as a church family, God wants us to have time for deep, meaningful fellowship. And I think this is part of His vision for the future of SIBC. All right? I hope some of these are kind of sounding familiar, all right, if you've been around the last 26 weeks. Okay, another characteristic of the future of SIBC, I think, will be worship. Worship. Now, how many of you enjoy gathering together with Christians and singing songs to Jesus? Do you guys like doing that? Personally, this is one of my favorite things to do at church. I like just singing and worshiping, and the more people and the more music, the more instruments, just the better. So as we go to Izumi Otsu, I think we want to continue, right? Worshiping God through instruments and music and singing. In fact, for the last couple of months, I've been working really, really hard to update our songbooks. And they're all ready. I'm going to actually ask you to help me assemble them this afternoon. But all of the new songs have been added into our songbooks. And now these are ready to be used when we go to Noji's house. And this might be something that we use as we worship. Now, since I have this and I'm showing this to you, I got to be honest. I kind of have mixed feelings about using songbooks. All right, on the one hand, I think songbooks are much more simple to use. They require much less preparation than making all these slides like I do each week and you using the projector. I mean, this is just so much easier, and that's good. I also like the idea of having a songbook because it allows us to be more spontaneous. Right? If we're worshiping and we want to sing a song that hasn't been prepared on the slides, how do we do that? But when we're singing here and someone says, hey, let's sing Open Your Eyes, we can all just turn to number 30 and we can begin to worship. Right? And so I like just kind of the spontaneity and the freedom and the simplicity of using songbooks. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. But on the other hand, you know, sometimes songbooks can be a distraction when we worship, right? You know how it is? We're all sitting here singing number 51, Shine Jesus Shine, and you know, we kind of get to the second chorus and third chorus and we start looking, oh, song 52, 53, we haven't sung this one in a while. Oh, I love this song, I wish we could sing this song sometime. And suddenly we're thinking more about the favorite songs that we've kind of forgotten that it's really a time to worship. So sometimes putting something in your hand can distract you, right? The other thing about having songbooks is when we're holding something in our hands, suddenly our hands aren't available to be used during worship. You know, we're told to clap our hands during worship. How do you clap when you're reading? Here I am to worship. I mean, how do you do that, right? How do you raise your hands when you're trying to read the songbook? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, it kind of prevents us from worshiping God with our bodies, which is a very biblical thing to do. So I'm looking forward to trying to use these. I'm kind of also a little worried, but I'm sure as we go along, we'll learn a way to do this and we'll find a way and it'll be, I think, really good. So part of our future, I think, is worshiping God through songs, through singing, through instruments. But you know, friends, singing with instruments is not the only way to worship God. In fact, if you remember the message that we did on rethinking worship, we saw that in the New Testament, worship was often done without music, without instruments, and without singing. And most of us can't even imagine that because we're just so used to having a worship team lead us in worship. But friends, we don't have to have instruments in order to worship. And so I think it would be good for us to actually explore and discover new ways, different ways to worship Jesus. Right? And I think that I say this not only because this is the biblical example, but just it's also very practical. Because what happens if we gather on Sunday and there's no one who can play an instrument? Right, then what do? You know, in the past at SIBC, I don't know if you remember, maybe Yuko remembers, many years ago we actually had three separate worship teams. We had enough people who played instruments. We could actually have three separate teams and they took turns leading worship. But just little by little, the number of musicians kind of, I don't know, they all disappeared or moved back to their home countries or something. And recently, I've been doing most of the worship leading. Now, I don't mind doing it, but it'd be nice if I could kind of, you know, share it with other people, but there really hasn't been other people. So what happens if I can't be here? In fact, I know for sure one Sunday in September and one Sunday in October, I'm not going to be here. So what's going to happen on those days? How are we going to worship without someone who can play an instrument? Right? On top of that, even when I am here, sometimes it would be nice to just be a worshiper and not always be the worship leader. You know what I mean? Sometimes it would just be nice to not worry about having to lead and I could just enjoy worshiping Jesus. So one solution maybe is to find other people who play instruments. And maybe I shouldn't say this publicly, but I'll do it anyway. Noji's learning the guitar. He's been practicing for a couple of years, but he doesn't have much confidence. But we're hoping that maybe, you know, he'll be able to help lead in this new setting. But I think another solution is to find different ways of worshiping Jesus that don't include instruments. So maybe we could sing a cappella, right? Maybe we could listen to a worship CD and sing along to the CD. Or maybe we could just listen to the CD and not sing, but just kind of just be in the presence of God and just let the music kind of, I don't know, wash over us in a sense. Maybe we could worship Jesus through prayer. Instead of singing our worship, we could just pray, talk our worship. Maybe we could worship by reading the Psalms together and just singing or reading just those wonderful songs of praise we see written there. But friends, I think if we think about it, there's probably lots of creative ways to worship. And I think it would be good and fun for us to explore just the new and different ways to worship God and draw near to Jesus. And so as we gather together for worship, I think God, or as we gather together, I think God wants us to worship. That much is clear. But maybe the worship that we do each week won't be the same. Like here it is this, you know, now, just every week the same. Maybe it'll be different each week. Maybe we will worship Jesus just in a variety of different ways, which I think could be really meaningful and really special, right, as we kind of get used to doing that. So part of our vision, part of God's vision, God's heart for the church is that we would worship. And then another part of God's vision for us, and this is the last one we'll talk about today, and that's teaching, right? Teaching. As we look at the New Testament, we see that teaching and learning and studying the Scriptures is an important part of life in the church. Now, as you know, here at SIBC, currently I do most of the teaching, right? Most every week I stand here and I talk to you for 40 minutes. And some of you might not know this, but back when I first started preaching like 13 years ago, my messages were only about 20 minutes. So you guys are now getting like two for the price of one on Sunday morning, right? 40 minutes. But I stand here, I talk for 40 minutes each week. You sit there, you listen politely, you take notes. Thank you very much for just being polite and patient in that way. And that's kind of been our pattern for the last 13 years. And actually, I enjoy this. I enjoy giving the message. I sense that maybe this is how God has gifted me, and this might be how He is using me to help build up the body of Christ. I hope as you come and I talk that maybe once in a while I actually say something that is encouraging and helpful in your walk with Jesus. But friends, I have the sense that maybe this is going to change as we look ahead to the next season. You know, a few months ago, God began to show me that once this season at SIBC is over, then, how do I say this, then maybe I'm not going to be teaching in the same way that I've been doing up until now. You see, I think God still wants me to teach, but I think God's been speaking to me about learning how to teach in a more informal way. Instead of preparing a 40-minute message each week, and I spend a lot of time to prepare these messages, right? Instead of doing it that way, I think God is wanting to teach me how to teach through just the daily conversations of life, through just discussions and dialogues that we have together, but that I have with other people as well. Because right now, the only time I'm able to teach is between, 11 and about 11:40 on Sunday morning. But what about Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? You guys don't come here to listen to me teach on those days. And I think God is wanting to teach me how to teach in a new way. And so part of my journey is to kind of put aside what I enjoy doing and learn a way of teaching that is actually, I think, will be kind of hard for me. And yet, friends, I think that this is exactly what SIBC needs right now. Let me explain. In the New Testament, we actually see three different methods of teaching in the church. Did you know that? There's actually three different ways that we see teaching happening in the body of Christ. And let me quickly share these with you. The first one is this, right? The first one, in the church, the teachers teach. Right? Scriptures like Romans 12:7 make it clear God has given some Christians the special ability to teach in the church. And we call these spiritual gifts, right? And those who have the spiritual gift of teaching, they should teach. That's why God gave them that gift. Now, here's the deal. Although I might be one of the teachers here at SIBC, friends, I am certain I'm not the only one. I am certain that there are other people in this room, maybe 2, 3, 4 of you, right, who also have been given the gift of teaching. Right? And so we also want to give those people an opportunity to use the gift that God has given them and to teach us and to share with us the things that God puts on their hearts. Right? So for sure, we want the teachers to be teaching. But see, it's teachers, plural. It's not just one person. I think there's multiple people who can and should be doing the teaching in the church. But there's a second method for teaching in the body of Christ. Right? The second one is this, right? We teach one another. Right? According to Colossians 3:16, we all teach. All Christians have the privilege of being able to teach one another. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to stand up on a stage and, you know, give a 30-minute sermon in front of the whole church. But as you walk with Jesus, I think all of you can share for 5 minutes on something that God has been teaching you. All of you can teach in that way. Or as we gather together for small group Bible time and have time for discussion, all of you can share your thoughts, can share your insights from the Word of God with those in your group. Friends, and in this way, we can all teach one another. And I think that's a very important biblical method of teaching in the church. We're all giving, we're all receiving, we're all teaching, we're all being taught. But there's a third method of teaching in the church. And personally, I think this is the preferred method. And you guys know what this one's going to be, right? Jesus is our teacher. Right, we see this in Matthew 23, verse 10. Jesus says, don't call anyone teacher. Why? He says, because we have only one teacher. Friends, and who's that teacher? Jesus. Jesus says he is our teacher. And that's an amazing thing for Jesus to say, that we shouldn't call anyone teacher. Jesus alone wants to be our teacher. Now, unfortunately, many Christians and many churches, and I include myself in that category, many Christians, right? We become so dependent upon human teachers that we never actually learn how to let Jesus be our teacher. And so here at SIBC, we want to learn how to let Jesus be our teacher. We want to learn how to look to Jesus and how to learn directly from Jesus. Friends, and I believe that should be the main way of receiving teaching in the church. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. But friends, you have to realize there's a very, very, very big difference between us here in Japan right now, 21st century, between us and the New Testament church. Do you want to know the really big difference between us and the New Testament church? The New Testament church didn't have the New Testament. The Christians there, they just couldn't pull a book off their shelf and read the Gospels and the stories about Jesus. But when they wanted to know about, what was that guy Paul preaching about? They couldn't just, you know, pull out and start reading his letters. Right? They didn't have this book, but we do. We have the teaching of the apostles, the teachings of the disciples written down for us. Now, before it was written down, teachers were really, really important because that was the way that people learned about how to live the Christian life. The teachers needed to teach. Those who lived with Jesus and heard Jesus and walked with Jesus, they needed to teach. But now a lot of that has been written down. And you know what that means? That means you and I can read this book. And we can let Jesus be our teacher. You see, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of each one of us, right? And who does Jesus call the Holy Spirit? He calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. He says the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. In 1 John, the Apostle John says that we don't need anyone to teach us because we have the Holy Spirit. Friends, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the Word of God given to us. And we have Jesus who promises to be our teacher. Friends, we can trust Jesus to teach us. And you know, I think Jesus can be a better teacher than any human being could ever be. Maybe He doesn't use PowerPoint. Maybe He doesn't tell long stories or, you know, different... You know, but He has a way of speaking to our hearts in a way that a human being cannot. He knows what we need to hear better than I do, better than any human teacher ever could. And so, here at SIBC, we want to let Jesus be our teacher. Right? So, we have actually three biblical ways of doing teaching in the Bible. And of course, we want to do all three, right? All three are good. All three are necessary. But I think up until now, we've actually put a lot of emphasis on allowing the teacher to teach. But maybe in this new season, I think God wants us to shift that emphasis. And He also wants us to learn how to let us teach one another. And He also wants us to learn how to let Jesus be our teacher. And so I think part of God's vision for our future is that we would explore these different ways of teaching. Does that make sense? Now, here's the really cool thing about meeting together in a home. Friends, as we sit around a living room, I think there'll be more opportunities for us to do interaction with one another during the teaching time. And I think that would be a huge blessing, right? Rather than, you know, we'll go from being passive listeners to being active participants. I think that would be really good for us as we desire to learn. I mean, just for example, have you ever been sitting here in the middle of the message and you had a question? Maybe something you didn't understand? You're like, what in the world is he talking about? You just want to ask, what about this? Or I don't understand. Or have you ever had a comment? Like, oh, Michael, it'd be really good for you to say this. And you like wish you could make a comment and kind of add something to what we're talking about. Have you ever wanted to do that? But in this, everyone's smiling. Yeah. Right now you're wanting to say a few things, right? You see, but in this setting, there really isn't an opportunity to do that. But as we're gathering together in a living room, right, I think there'll be more freedom to have conversation, more freedom to ask questions, more freedom for dialogue, more freedom to discuss things with one another. Friends, and I believe that would be very good for us. I think in that kind of atmosphere, we would actually learn more. And so as we begin to gather together at Noji's house, we want to have teaching, absolutely. This is God's heart for us. But I think there are many ways for us to do this. There are many ways for us to be taught, right? Many ways for us to learn and study and grow. So, those are the five things that I wanted to share with you for this week. And since I know maybe not everyone can come next week, let me just quickly show you the next five, because I really want everyone to have a list of all 10. So we'll just quickly go through these. Right, number 6 is going to be ministry. Right, this is the doing the one another's to one another. Number 7 is prayer, praying for each other, praying with each other. Number 8 is going to be healing. All right, we're broken people who want to find healing and wholeness in Jesus. All right, number 9, we're going to talk about giving. That's the offering. All right, now that we're not going to have to pay rent, what sort of things are we going to do with the offering? And then number 10 is going to be outreach. All right, so friends, I believe this is a list of characteristics of the church. And as we have been studying Scripture, as we've been going through the series on rethinking church, these seem to be God's heart for the church. And if you look at these things, many of these words are familiar, right? The word fellowship is familiar, worship, teaching, familiar. And yet, how we actually do these things might be a bit unfamiliar for us, right? Because we're taking time to rethink church. We really want to do church God's way, not our way. And so we're going to do these things, but I think God has fresh ways of us to do these things. So the question then is, how do we put these into practice? Right? How are we going to do our fellowship? How are we going to do worship? How are we going to do teaching? Well, friends, that's not a question that I answer. That's not a question that even the leadership team decides. That's something we all decide. Right? We're a family. If it was hierarchy, I could tell us how it's going to go. But we're not. We're a family. We're brothers and sisters. And so I think what we do is we gather together and we take time to seek the Lord together, and then we talk about these things together. And as we do that, I think the Lord begins to give us ideas of how we actually can begin to practice these things. And along the way, we might try lots and lots of different things, different ways of worship, different ways of teaching, different ways of doing this. Some of them we'll really like and we'll want to do again. Others we won't like so much and maybe we won't do again. You see, but in the process, Jesus will lead us to discover meaningful ways to actually be the body of Christ. So as I close, friends, here's my recommendation this morning. Actually, I have two suggestions for you. First of all, right, I really do encourage you to pray. Right? I encourage you to pray about the 10 items on this list. Ask the Lord how He wants us to do these things. Ask the Lord to give you ideas, to give you thoughts, to give you a dream of how to put these things into practice. But also pray and ask the Lord how He might want you to be involved in these things. How might the Lord want you to be active in these 10 areas? Right? But I really encourage you just to take time even now to begin to pray for these things. Ask the Lord to lead us and guide us. So if I can ask you to do that, I'd really appreciate that. The second recommendation I have is this. Friends, for the first 2 or 3 months after moving to Noji's house, I think we should have no official worship service. I think we can still gather together, right? We can still eat together. But honestly, I think we need to take a break from just the weekly worship service. I think we need a time to detox. I think we need a time to kind of get this system out of our thinking and allow God to change our thinking about what it means to gather as a church family. And so instead of actually having a worship time, maybe during those 2 or 3 months, maybe each week we could gather together and we can choose one of these 10 things and we can begin to talk about that. For example, we'll choose worship. And 1 week we'll talk about worship, and as we come together, we'll just discuss the different ways that we might be able to worship God together. And each of you will have a chance to share your thoughts and your ideas and your suggestions and your hopes and your dreams about worship. And then we can pray together and we can ask God, God, show us the way. Jesus, how do you want us to seek you as we look ahead to worshiping together in the future? And then the next week we'll talk about fellowship, and the next week we'll do the same thing, you know, about family, and we'll just begin to talk about these things. And friends, I think that would be very good for us. Instead of having someone just impose upon you how you're going to do these, together as a family, we begin to say, how does God want to lead us? And I think we would find that He would lead us. And I think it would be fun because it was something that we sought together, and we each had a chance to just contribute to how this is all actually going to look. And you know, I think it might actually take 2 or 3 months for us to actually kind of go through that whole process. And then maybe, I don't know what the timetable might be, but maybe in October or November, we could then officially restart the new SIBC or whatever it'll be called then, because I don't know if we can still be Sakai International Bible Church if we're not in Sakai anymore. But that's just something I've been thinking about, how we're actually going to move forward. Right? I really want us, this to be something that we do together. And so I've been thinking about these things. I encourage you to think about these things, right? Through this series, Rethinking Church, and through our study of Scripture, I think God's been revealing, friends, His plan, His vision, His future for SIBC. And you know, God's doing good things. I honestly believe that. Are we a smaller church than we were a couple of years ago? Absolutely. But I honestly believe we're a stronger church. Right now, I think we have more potential to do things for the kingdom of God than we've had in a long, long time. I'm excited. God's clearly got a plan for us. He clearly has something good in store for us. So now, more than ever, we want to look to Him. We want to seek Him. All right, let's pray. Jesus, we do thank You for just these last 9 months as we've been going through this series. And I know probably for most people, it seems that talking about church has been not very practical for our daily lives. But now that we sense that You are leading us to meet in a home, Lord, suddenly all these things that we've been talking about become very, very practical. And so, Jesus, in these weeks and months to come, I pray that You would just continue to lead us, continue to guide us. And as we begin to consider just these 10 things, and we're going to look at the next 5 more closely next week, but as we look at these, Lord, we want You to be giving us thoughts and ideas of how we can actually begin to put these things into practice in a way that reflects not just what we want, but in a way that reflects what You want. So Jesus, we thank You for Your promise to always be with us when we gather. We thank You for Your promise to be our teacher. We thank You that You are our shepherd. Father, we thank You that You are the Father, the head of this family. Jesus, more and more I pray that You would help us just to learn to live that way. That we would look to You, we would follow You, and that we would do it not just as individuals, but that You would help us to learn how to do that as a family, as the body of Christ that You have brought together here at SIBC. So Jesus, we love You. We look to You, and we continue to ask that You would lead us and guide us now. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.